Tonight's show, I'd like to spend some time discussing some halachas that pertain to Erev Rosh Hashanah, specifically Mitzvah next week's share. I'd like to get into some halachas that pertain to Rosh Hashanah itself, but this week, I'd like to focus on some halachas that pertain to Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you look over here, number one, the Torah in Siman Tavkuf Pe'al, of course, an interesting minog. He writes, Noagim ba'ashkenaz lehis'anois kulam be'erev Rosh Hashanah. There's a minog in Ashkenaz that everyone fasts on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? The smach lezemi medrash Rebbe Tanchuma. Says the Torah explanation behind this minog. Where did this minog come from that people fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah? It's based on a medrash. It says, when the Torah discusses by the Yom Tov of Sukkot, and you should take for yourself B'yom HaRishon on the first day. So we all think B'yom HaRishon means the first day of Sukkot. So the medrash asks, V'chirishon hu? Is it the first day? It's the 15th day of the month. Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot falls on the 15th day of Tishrei. So why does the pasuk in the Torah, by describing Sukkot, call Sukkot the first day? Says there, El Arisha in the Cheshbon Avinus. Because Sukkot is the first day where we're going to start to have a Cheshbon, we're starting to have a record of Averis. Up till Sukkot, we're not going to have any Averis on our record. Why not? Explains the Torah, Mashal Medina Shechayevis Masla Melech. It's comparable to a city that owes back taxes, the whole city owes back taxes to the government. So they didn't pay the taxes, so someone's going to come and collect the taxes. So they come with an army. They send that, today we call it the IRS, but it's an army. They come to collect the back taxes that are owed to the government. So what happens, says the Medrash? When the government, or the army, or the IRS, whoever they may be, gets close within 10 parsa, so what's the first way of trying to get the taxes removed? So you send out the gedolim of the city. You send out the leaders, the politicians, those gedolim, whoever they may be, the kreisiv oimrula, and they say to him, we say, listen, we send our public officials, we say to go tell the government, we're broke. So you know what happens? Hanach lehem shlish. So the government decides to be meichel a third of our bill, which is very nice. What happens next? Kevin shen iskar of Yaser, they come even closer to us, and they say, okay, good, I took away a third of it, but you still have to pay the other two thirds. So yatsu bein in your ear. So then we don't send out the officials, now we send out the average Joe, the run-of-the-mill average guy, we bring them out. Yatsu lekroisai, haneich lehem shlishi hasheni. So the government feels bad, they see all these good people coming to ask for forgiveness, so they forgive two thirds. Kishen iskar of Yaser, when the government comes even closer and the day to pay is even closer, you also call Bnei Yerli Kroisei. All the people of the city come out, men, women, children, the whole shebang. Ve'niach lehem akol. And then the government says they feel so bad, they decide to forgive the entire amount. Good luck trying to pull that with the IRS. But in any case, that's what the Medrash says happens with the king. Says the Torah, Kach HaMelech Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mashal and nimshal is that this king is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bnei HaMedina El Yisrael. And the people of the city, we're Klal Yisrael. Shemis aglin avoinus kol hashana. What do? We spend the whole year collecting avoinus. The whole year we collect a lot of averis. Then Erev Rosh Hashanah, hagedoylim misanim. So on Erev Rosh Hashanah, our leaders, our gedoylim, they fast. Umivato lehem shlush avoinusim. And Hashem forgives a third of our averis. Ba'asar yom beinayim in the middle days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So then misanim. Then the regular Jews fast, the average Jew fasts. And then what? Then Hashem is mechaper on two-thirds of our averus. So we only have one-third left. Then comes Yom Kippur and all of Klal Yisrael fasts. Then Hashem wipes away all our averus. Therefore, says the Torah, now we understand why Sukkot is called the first day. Because we're all starting from a fresh cheshbon, fresh bill. And the Torah believes that we don't have any time to do any averis from Matzim Kippur until we get to Sukkot. There's 4 days in between. But the Torah is convinced that we're so busy building our Sukkot and getting our lulav and this and that, we don't have any time to do averis. So the first time we can actually have an avera on our cheshbin is not going to be till the first day of Sukkot, and that's why the Sukkot is called the first day. A very, very important statement by the Torah. But what we see from the Torah is that the reason for fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah is that one-third of our averus are nimcha. So the Bach obviously has a very fundamental question over here. How could it be that Erev Rosh Hashanah has the same power as Yom Kippur? Can't be. They both take off of a third of the averus. You tell me Yom Kippur, the great Yom Kippur, has the same power as Erev Rosh Hashanah? As we'll see later on tonight, the whole fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't even fast the whole day. It doesn't come along with Chamish Shenuyim. It's going to have the same power as Erev Yom Kippur. as Yom Kippur itself. But nonetheless, you see from the Torah that the idea behind fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah is by doing so, a third of our averus are nimch. The problem is, if you take the wording of the Torah literally, it says hagedolim. What was in the mashal? What was the case? They sent out the dignitaries, the gedolim. So why do we all have to fast? Let the gedolim, all gedolim, Eretz Yisrael, all the Rosh Hashivas and all the rabbanim and assistant rabbis, they should all go fast. And the rest of us, we don't have to fast. That was the mashal. The mashal was that the gedolim go out to fast. So why do all the regular people have to go fast? So the Beis Yosef writes the number two. He says, Even though if you read the Torah the way it's written, it says only the gedolim have to fast. Nonetheless, Nogu ba'ashkenaz l'sanus kulam. Nonetheless, the meaning, at least in Ashkenaz, was that everyone fasted. Why? Shende bedovish hutzar. When the issue over here is not a covet. Also, you're a bigger gadol, you have to fast more. It's not a good thing to have to fast. So therefore, we say kalai roitz alas atzmei gadol oisa. If anyone wants to consider himself a gadol for this thing, it's okay. This is not a big mechubad type of thing to be considered a gadol. It just means you're not going to go eating. So everyone could be a gadol. So when even though the Torah says gadolim, we should all feel comfortable considering ourselves gadolim, and we should all fast. So that's the basis understanding of why the minhag became widespread, that everyone, not just gadolim, not just leaders, everyone fasted every Rosh Hashanah. And according to the Torah, a third of our averus are nimcha. So I always tell people, I say, it's a pretty good deal. I don't know if you can find a better deal anywhere else. A third of your averus are nimcha. It's worth it. It's a good deal to fast an Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Chayyadim has a different reason why we fast an Erev Rosh Hashanah. He writes in number three, Erev Rosh Hashanah hu yom achrim min Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is the last day of the year. Rosh Hashanah is the new year. Therefore, the kiblu chazal shekalo oise tshuva yom echad b'shanah. Chazal tell us that if you do tshuva one day of the year, chashiv kilu shav kol hashanah. So you did tshuva the whole year. We always go after the ending, so if you end on a high note, so the whole year will be considered a good year. Which is why the Mat Ephraim writes that one of the most important tefillos is the mincha before, is the mincha on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Most of us think it's the Ma'ariv, the first night of Rosh Hashanah. It's not, says the Mat Ephraim. It's the mincha on Erev Rosh Hashanah, which most of us probably show up late to. That's by far the most important tefillos, says the Mat Ephraim, because that's the end of the year. It's our last tefillah of the year. So if we want all our tefillos to be calculated and counted, it's going to go based on that last tefillah. So says the Chayyadim, same thing here also. The last day of the year, we want this to be what we bring to the table for as our whole year. Therefore, writes the Chayyadim, l'chein nagu shekulim misanim. That's right, all of us fast. That's why Erev Rosh Hashanah has so many slichas, and we say vidui. This is a very important day because we're trying to accomplish that the end of the year should go out on this very high note. Therefore, where the minhag is to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So there's two reasons seems to be brought down in the Paiskim to the minhag behind why we fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting. This is not a very very known halacha. I was teaching this to a group of high school boys, 11th graders, and I asked how many boys have ever heard of this. Got very, very few hands raised. He says, for some reason, not a very popular halacha. Yet, it's Mefurash Shulchan Aruch, number four, the Mechaber writes, Nohagim l'hisanus Erev Rosh Hashanah. So yes, I understand the Mechaber says Nohagim, which right away is, okay, it's not my minhag, that's the easy way out. So the Shulchan Aruch writes this line of Nohagim l'hisanus, there's a minhag to fast in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now again, after you see the Torah and you see that this is a good investment, because this takes a third of your averus, so you start to look at this minhag and say, okay, it's not a bad idea. But in my opinion, why I think people don't do it is because look at the next line in the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Hagav ha-medaktikim nogim shekolecha misan asar yom. Those that are really medaktikim, they fast all of the days of Aser Shemei Tshuva. V'chein nocham asayis, and that's the right thing to do. So I think once people read that bottom line, they say, oh, that's lav dafka. So the first line of the Mechaber is also lav dafka. The same way no one really fasts all Aser Shemei Tshuva. By the way, I do know people who fast during Aser Shemei Tshuva. Not widely, but there are people who do it. The Ramah says, that's medaktikim. So I think when people read this Sif and Shochanach, they say to themselves, okay, the first part, I don't know about, but when I read the Ramah says we're all supposed to fast Aser Shemei Tshuva, that's obviously not Negev. So the first part of the Mechaber is also not Negev. And I think that's why people just don't give too much credence to this halacha. But it is a Mefurish and Mechaber and Shochan Aruch that the minhag is to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But here is the real reason why people don't fast. Because the Ramah continues, he says, V'chol eil ha-tainis v'imchal bris mila be'Erev Rosh Hashanah. What happens if a bris falls out on Erev Rosh Hashanah? So yichoylim lechol. You're allowed to eat at the bris. So some achrenim say, hey, one second. If a bris falls out on any of the other fast days, you're not allowed to eat. So clearly the Ramah is telling us this halacha that if someone happens to be making a bris on Sunday Erev Rosh Hashanah, everyone that partakes is allowed to eat. Right, what happened to the fast? So you see, the fast gets pushed off. There's no such halacha that if a fast falls out on any other Tainus Tzibur and you have a Tainus Tzibur with a bris, the bris beats out the Tainus Tzibur. Oh, so you see from this Ramah, that's not a real fast day. It's a watered down fast day. Because if it were to be a real fast day, it wouldn't lose to a bris. So this is why a lot of people have the opinion that it's a very watered down fast day. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe not. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it. It just means it has a built-in leniency to it. But to say that's a reason not to do it seems to be hard to believe. Right, so we're going to get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. Exactly how long to fast, which maybe depends upon how much of the third of the Averis you're still going to get. Then it's a really good deal. If you only have to fast a Chatzos and a third of your Averis and Nimcha, that's a terrific deal. You can't get a deal like that anywhere else. That's really a bargain. But the Rama continues, and he says, V'rabim noigim le'echol be'er Rosh Hashanah koidim alos ha'shacha. But there were some people, some Rishonim, that took issue with this minhag. Why? Because they felt that if you're going to fast on Erev Yom Tov, you're going to run into a problem of b'chukoseyim loyselech chukas ha'goyim. That's what the goyim used to do, or goyim still do today. They fast on the eve of their holidays. So if we're going to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's going to present a problem. So says the Rama, how do we bypass that problem? So you'll get up a little bit before Lois HaShachar. This way you'll eat before davening, you'll eat before Lois HaShachar. Means you're getting up really early, and you'll eat before that. And this way you're not fasting on the Erev of their Chag. So the Magen Avraham and the Aruch HaShulchan point out, what do you mean? We do it Erev Pesach. We have a Tainus B'chayim on Erev Pesach. How can you have a Tainus B'chayim on Erev Pesach? And that Tainus B'chayim on Erev Pesach we saw when we learned it back then, that was based in Masechta Seifim, that was based in Mishayim, that was clear. Aye, what happened to the problem of Chukas HaGoyim? So the simple answer could be is that that's not the same. Because Erev Pesach, not all of Klal Yisrael is fasting. Only a very small part of Klal Yisrael is fasting. B'chayim, how many B'chayim are there? But here, the way the Beis Yosef says it, everyone's fasting. So that's much more following the ways of the Goyim. The Goyim, everyone fasts. So therefore, there are those who say that this is a problem. However, if you're going to only fast half a day, I think that would also circumvent the problem, which is by and large what most of us do today is we don't fast the whole day, we only fast up till Chatzos. That's, I think, the by and large, the minhag ha'olam today is for those people who do fast in Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't fast the whole day because we can't go into Yom Tov hungry, so that's not an option. So how long do you fast? So there are different, some minhag da'olam, minhag tana. I do believe that the minhag ha'olam is that we only fast till Chatzos. The other question is, what happens if you, do you need to make a Kabbalah? The Gemara says in Tainus that if you fast on a fast day without making Kabbalah prior to the fast day, you get no credit. Because like the dog ate your lunch. Because unless you're Mekabel and you decide to actively fast for the sake of tshuva or for whatever the reason is, then you get credit for it. If a person wakes up one day and is just so busy, he never had time to eat. Does he get credit for a fast day? No. Because that's not a fast day. That's a day you were too busy to eat. In order for it to be a fast day, there has to be a Kabbalah in the Mincha before it. So those Tainesi de Rabbanon, we don't need to make a Kabbalah. It's a built-in Kabbalah. What about all these quasi-fast days? This is the big Shaila when the Chasen fast, the day before it's Chasana. Does he have to make a Kabbalah? Is that fast established enough or accepted enough of a fast day that doesn't require a Kabbalah or not? So same thing here also. What about this fast day? This Erev Rosh Hashanah fast. So the Mishnah Berurah writes very clearly in number 5. The Mishnah Berurah writes like this. Erev Rosh Hashanah, v'afilu hatinoikos mis'anin. Even the children. Children fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Children don't fast on Tisha B'Av. Children don't fast on Yom Kippur. Children have to fast on Erev. How can it be? Explains the Mishnah Berurah. Hatinoikos lav davka. No, doesn't mean the children. El ratzaleima na'arim shehigiyu yudgimel l'zachar v'yud beisham l'nikeva. It means all the 13-year-old boys and all the 12-year-old girls, everyone has to fast. So here's a klarai that women are supposed to fast. It says women and men. Everyone's the same. So everyone's supposed to fast. So here it seems like they're putting an emphasis on everyone. La'afuke, the diuk that the Beis Yosef wanted to make in the Shulchan Aruch, that only the Gedolim. The answer is not only the Gedolim, everyone. 13-year-old, 12-year-old, everyone has to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Says Mishnah Berurah, ve'ein tzarech Kabbalah. You don't need to make a Kabbalah before this fast day, the Erev before the fast day. V'loi hashloma, we don't finish the full fast day. Rabbi Yashiv held that today, Bizman Azeh, as we mentioned earlier, since this is not such a popular fast day, and if you go out and you poll people and you ask them if they're familiar with the fast of Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're going to get some interesting answers. So Rabbi Yashiv held, if you're not familiar with this fast day, which means you never learned this, that it is the first time you ever learned this halacha, and you're going to fast this Erev Rosh Hashanah, he held you should make a Kabbalah. If you're fasting for the last 25 years since you heard this halacha, so good. So then it's part of your routine. Every Rosh Hashanah you fast, and it's part of your daily, your yearly cycle. However, if this is a new thing for you, and it's the first time you're hearing about it, so Rabbi Yashiv held in that case, a person should make a Kabbalah. Even though it's Shabbos, you could still make a Kabbalah on Shabbos. I tell people, so it's kedai to make the Kabbalah, because on the tzad that you're not yetz without the Kabbalah, you don't get any credit. So it's worth to make the Kabbalah. You don't lose anything by making a Kabbalah. The only thing is, if you make a Kabbalah, be careful what you say. Because if you're mekabel the tainus stam, if you get up by Shabbos Mincha and you say, I want to fast tomorrow, so you might be stuck having to fast till right before Yom Tov. So if you're going to fast tomorrow, if you're making a Kabbalah, I'd suggest do two things. A, be mekabel it, bili neder, assuming I feel well and everything's going well. or B, and B, be mekabel only up until chatzos, and speak out. I want to fast tomorrow, assuming I wake up and I feel good, and I don't have a terrible headache, and I'm not whatever, and I also only want to fast till chatzos. This way, you're only bound till chatzos, and you don't have to fast the entire day. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv. Again, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say you don't need a Kabbalah at all, but again, I do agree that I think today it's not widely accepted, this fast day. Most people don't know of it or do it, therefore I think a Kabbalah would be a wise idea. There were those in the Paiskim that were actually very against this fast day. They didn't think it was the right thing to do. If you look in the Chayyadim in two places discusses the idea of fasting on fast days where you're not really obligated. I mean, it used to be back in the times of the earlier Acharonim, fasting was a regular thing. People did it all the time. People fasted Monday, Thursday. People did a lot of fasting. So the Chayyadim writes number 6, V'omdam ein ro linog b'tainis, you shouldn't have a fast, elamishu odom bori, unless you're healthy. And you know that the fast day won't affect your day. It won't stop your learning. You'll be able to learn a regular day, wherever your learning schedule is. It won't be affected from the fact that you're not having breakfast. And we're talking the 1700s, 1800s, where we're already weak. It's better to eat a little bit and learn double. Well, because what's the other option? You're going to fast, you're not going to eat, and you won't learn. So the better idea is eat a little bit, and then learn double. Have a fast day instead of learning less and going hungry, have a little breakfast and learn longer. So the Chayyadim was a very big proponent for if your options are fasting and not being able to learn versus learning and eating, it's better to learn and eat. Now, that Chayyadim is talking about the fasting of our Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which is why most of us don't fast during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because we wouldn't get any learning done if we were fasting for the entire Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Then there's another piece of Chayyadim in number 7, where he writes Tamazah. He says, generally, the way we are, if we're going to fast, we're not going to be able to serve Hashem the way we're supposed to. That we're not allowed to have fast days. Unless it's a Seiros Tainus Tzibur, one of those major fast days. Also, then you're not allowed to go away from the community. If everyone's fasting in Shavuos B'Tammuz, you don't have the right to take a break. Is those who teach children, Pshita Da'asurim Lehisanus. Those two of you that teach, educators, they're not allowed to fast. Why? That's not fair. You're not giving your students a fair chance. You're not able to give a good shiur that day. You're not able to teach Torah. It's not right. So the Chayyadim clearly in both of these pieces was not a very big believer in fasting if it's going to affect the way it affects most of us on a fast day, where we're not at our best game. We're not able to focus. We're not able to learn. We're not able to daven as well. In that case, he held it's not kedai to do. So this is one of the reasons why many people were, so to say, against the fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, because they felt we're not going to have a good Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is a busy day. There's a lot to do, a lot of important things to do. We're not going to be able to focus. We're not going to be able to do what we need to do if we're hungry. So it's not worth it. And that's why many people didn't fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Nita Gavriel writes over here, number 8, he says, V'achshov noigim l'sanas ad mincha gedoyle. He thinks the minhag is to fast up till mincha gedoyle. I think the minhag is to fast till chatzos. But okay, mincha gedoyle, chatzos, not so far apart from each other, but I think the minhag is to fast till chatzos. But he writes, U'misha chaylik tzas, if you don't feel well, of course, ain't tzarech l'sanas, nothing to talk about, you don't have to fast. U'bizman hazeh, shahaderis chaloshim, comes again, today that we're weak, yesh lismech al-shitas rabbeinu abirli melech, what we spoke about last week, Rabbi Melech's idea, Sheshnei Dafim Gemari Marosh Nechshav Ketainis. You want to know what counts for a Tainis? So the Chayyadim said, learn double. Here he quotes again from this Rabbi Melech that you know what? And say you should learn 2 Dafim Gemara with the Rosh, and you get credit for the Tainis. So on the footnote, he writes that when he wrote this, people came back to him and said, you want to say that by, let's say, fasting on the first day of Slichas, which we saw is only a Magen Avraham. Fine, so you can tell me this Shtikl Torah, that 2 Dafim Gemara is like a fast day. But this is well-sourced. Fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah is not like a Magen Avraham that says it's a minhag. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down in Torah. So just to say, by learning 2 Dafim Gemara, you're going to accomplish what the Shulchan Aruch and what the Torah says through fasting, mehecha teisa. How do you have the right to make that jump? So he says, I hear the Ha'ara, but I've seen other people say a similar idea. Okay, so if you want to go that route, so you'll learn a little extra, you'll learn 2 Dafim Gemara with Rosh, and this way you'll get the Milo of a Tainus. But again, at the end of the day, if you only fast until Chatzos, it's not that long, and again, it's a pretty good deal. I got a third of one Zaveris Nimchal. Again, if a person is obviously not a good faster, it's obviously not a good idea. So I was telling the kids in school, told me, oh, that's why there's no yeshiva on Erev Rosh Hashanah. This week, you have no yeshiva on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so if you don't feel well, you just go to sleep. Okay, I don't think that's the right thing to do in Rosh Hashanah anyways. There's a lot to do in the productive world. But nonetheless, that's the reason why many people don't fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But the pashtus would be, like the Shulchan Aruch says, if a person could fast, I think a person should fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, at least until Chatzai. So that's with regard to the fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Shulchan Aruch writes in number 9, a neifin la'apneim be'ev Rosh Hashanah betfilah. We don't say tachanun by Shachris. So Sunday morning at Shachris, we're not going to recite tachanun. We will recite Lam Natzeach. The Sfaradim don't. Sfaradim hold that Lam Natzeach goes together with Tachanun. Ashkenazim don't hold like that. We hold Lam Natzeach and Tachanun have separate rules. But for Ashkenazim Jews, we won't say Tachanun. But Alpha Pishon Neifim Lapneim Ba'ashmeres Beslichus. But at the conclusion of Slichus on Sunday morning, we will say Tachanun. So that's very strange. Especially for, let's say, the most of us that are going to daven Sunday morning, we're going to have Shachos at 7 o'clock. So Slichus is going to be over by 8:30, and Shachos is going to be over at 9:15. About 45-minute difference, and all of a sudden the rules are different. What's the pshat? Why is there no Tachanun by Shachos, and yes, Tachanun by Slichus? So the Magen Avraham explains over here, number 10, he says, because it used to be Slichus ended before Alois HaShachar. As we mentioned last week, the preferred time to say Slichus is before Alois HaShachar. So they wouldn't start then, they'd finish then. So they'd finish Slichus before Alois HaShachar. Oh, therefore before Alois HaShachar, it's not yet Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Yitaka should say, why shouldn't you say Tachanun? It's not Erev Rosh Hashanah. But by Shachris, when you daven afterwards, it's already Erev Rosh Hashanah. So then you don't say Tachanun. So the question that everyone asks is, what about Bezman HaZeh? Bezmanazeh, none of us say Slichas that early. We all say Slichas at 7 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then we daven Shachris. So we're saying Slichas when it's daytime. We're davening Shachris when it's daytime. So it should have the same rule. So Magen Avraham says, what's the lema? Kivin de l'roif, pom, and regil, and sayim, kodem, and sashachar, tikna limpo, afim, ira, pamachas, shemamshach, al hayoim, neiflim. So Magen Avraham says, you're right. Even in my days, most of the people daven Slichas before. Even though there were some small people, they go after the majority. So someone asked Chaim Kanevsky, but today it's no longer the majority. It's no longer the minority. Today it's the majority. The majority of people are saying Slichas after Alois HaShachar. And his answer was, Loi plug. The halacha doesn't change. So really, there's not a really good reason of why Bizman HaZeh, if you're going to daven at a 6:30, a 7 o'clock minyan Sunday morning, while you're saying Tachanun by Slichas and not by Shachris. But the answer was, because Amol, the way they used to do things, then it made sense. And it kind of followed through today, even though the real reason does not apply Bizman HaZeh. But that's going to be the minig. We're not going to say Tachanun by Shachris, while we will say it by Slichas. The Ramah writes in number 11, that there's another thing that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, is litvol be'erev Rosh Hashanah mishum keri, that we go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah because of keri. And there's also a minute that people go to the base of kvarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, ulahar b'sham b'techinois, v'noisim sham tztok al anim. Many people have a minute to go Erev Rosh Hashanah to the cemeteries, to go not to daven to the mason, but to daven that the mason should bring their tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or b'schus ha-mason, whatever it may be. But as the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Matafraim again, we in this religion we don't daven to the dead people, we daven to Hashem. So there are those already who stopped going to the cemetery on Erev Rosh Hashanah just because they didn't have the time for it. The cemeteries were sometimes a few hours out of the city, and the travel time alone, it could be 3-4 hours of travel time on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you don't exactly have the time. So many people go anytime during Elul. Some people have a minute, they'll go this Sunday. This Sunday is a big cemetery day. The Sunday of Slichas, many people have a minute to go this Sunday. Because it's Sunday, people are off, they start Slichas, so it's already in the season, and it's not Erev Rosh Hashanah, so people have the time. So many people go to the cemetery, and most Achrenim held, it's any time during Elul, it's a Kedai trip to make, is to go to the cemetery. Rabbi Yaakov Emden held that Erev Yom Kippur is not a good day to go to the cemetery. He held Erev Yom Kippur as a shtickle din of Yom Tov, and therefore Erev Yom Kippur is not a good day to go to the cemetery. Erev Rosh Hashanah you could go, but Erev Yom Kippur is not a good day to make a trip to the cemetery. So the Ramah brings down a minug that we go to the mikvah because of keri. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in number 12 that if a person doesn't have a mikvah, so he should pour Tisha Kabin on himself. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes a very important chayadim. By far, this is the most common shayla I get every year Erev Rosh Hashanah. How early can you go to the mikvah? Like this would be one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim about Rosh Hashanah, is going to the mikveh, right? Every year, this is the most popular shayla, not about anything else, not about whatever, the shofar or other shaylas, but this is always the most popular shayla. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a chayadim. We'll go on record. Mishnah Berurah says, V'lo yaktim litvol out sho'o koidim chatzois hayem. You're not supposed to go to the mikveh earlier than an hour before Chatzos. Many people make this mistake that you're not allowed to go before Chatzos. That's not what he says. He says you're not allowed to go an hour before Chatzos. You're not supposed to go before the fifth hour into the day. So if Chatzos, let's say for argument's sake, would be 12:50, so you're not allowed to go before 11:50. But you can go 11:55, 11, 12 o'clock, 12:05. Any one of those hours are fine. You're not supposed to go before an hour before Chatzos. Again, the Achronim will point out, if let's say, again, this year it's a little easier because Sunday people aren't working, so they have a little bit more flexibility. But on a work day, many people say, I can't. I have to go before work. And it might be before then. So the Achronim will write, it's fine. As long as it's after Alois HaShachar, you can go even earlier. It's preferred. This Mr. Brewer is a preferred thing. If you have all the choices in the world, so don't go at 10 o'clock, wait to go till 12 o'clock. But if you know you're going to be at work and you're going to rush home and you're not going to have any time to go, so obviously it's better to go earlier in the day, but it has to be after Alois HaShachar. If you go before Alois HaShachar, I think the Poshim Shad is that we're trying to get it as later in the day to be masmechit to the Yomtif. You know, you go to the mikvah 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, that tefillah doesn't really count. It's not only carry. If you look in the Poshim, it's not just carry. How about a guy says, I know I haven't had carry, so why do I have to go? It's a Tosefes Kedusha. It's about really just adding Kedusha for these types of days. It's interesting. It's the fifth hour of the day. There's some significance to the fifth hour of the day. The sixth hour of the day is Chatzos, and this is the fifth hour. Yeah.
But why?
They don't really give much of a reason. It's based on this Chai Adam, that he has this fifth hour of the day. I know. I always thought the Pshat was we're trying to get it as close to the Yom Tov as possible. That would always be my idea. But the people get very into this halacha. The mamash sit there watching the clock, counting the hours. I think there's better things to do on Rosh Hashanah than watch the clock. But in any case, that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Then the Mishnah brings an interesting halacha that someone called me about this week. That's why I'm mentioning it. Yesh me'achrem shekasu, shenochem limnoi yatsim l'tashmish mitasa b'shnei leila shel Rosh Hashanah. That it's better not to have tashmish on the both nights of Rosh Hashanah, elim kin hoysa leil tefila, unless it happens to be leil tefila, the oz chayiv l'kayim einosa, then you have a chiv to be with your own wife, then what? V'yachzev yitzol b'shachris. If you do have tashmish with one's wife, and obviously you're going to be mitzik zera, then just go to the mikvah the next morning. Okay, however, those people who eat good meals on Rosh Hashanah, a person he has a taiva, obviously it's better to have tashmish with one's own wife. And in that case, again, he'll go to the mikveh again. So this Mishnah Berurah is hard to know. The Mishnah Berurah writes this almost by all the Yom Tovim. He writes about Lel Shavuos, Lel Rosh Hashanah, Lel Pesach, I think Lel Sukkos. A lot of the Yom Tovim is nochen lemnoya not to have tashmish. So I usually tell people is that if a person knows, he knows himself, he hasn't been with his wife for 2-3 weeks, whatever the scenario may be, and the only time they have is Rosh Hashanah, it's now or never, then I think it would be okay. But again, you go to the mikvah the next morning. So a fellow called me up, he told me he never heard of this halacha, what's it all about? So I told him it's a Mishnah Berurah. So he told me he doesn't want to go to the mikvah next morning. Everyone's going to know that he's in the mikvah, what he did last night. I said, no, that's not true. Rosh Hashanah morning is the most busiest day in the mikveh. Everyone's there. The Baltikei is there, and the Baal Makra is there, and the guy who stands behind the Baltikei is there. Everyone and their cousin goes to the mikveh on Rosh Hashanah day. No one's going to know anything. They might think you're a Baal-Kari, the Baal Makra, who knows what you are. So if you ever want to go to the mikveh any day and no one knows what you're doing, Rosh Hashanah is a good day to go. But Halach L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, that it's, again, if a person has the option, it would obviously be better not to have tashmish those two nights, of course, unless it's Lel Tefillah. And again, and if a person does have Tashmish, it's not the end of the world, right? It's a mitzvah. But just go to the mikvah the next morning. This way you have Kedusha when we come into Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so those are some of the halachas I want to talk about that pertain to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now I want to talk about another major element of Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is really not connected to Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is Ataras Nedarim. Ataras Nedarim is one of those things that really made it into Jewish society, became part and parcel of the, we'll call it the Erev Rosh Hashanah experience. Yet, interestingly enough, if you look at Mishnah Berurah, as far as I know and I've seen, he doesn't bring it down anywhere in Tavkuf Be'al. There's no mention of it. Doesn't bring it down, doesn't discuss it, doesn't say to do it. So where does this whole Ataras Nedarim experience come from? So the truth is it's the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara in the Dharm says, number 13, Haroitze Shalai Iskaim Nedarim. The Gemara is in the Dharm Chav Gimel. If a person wants that his Nedarim shouldn't be Niskaim, that his Nedarim shouldn't be last, so a Kol Hashanah of the whole year, Yamid B'Rosh Hashanah, he should get up on Rosh Hashanah, the Yemer and say, Kol Neder Shani Asa Lidar, any Neder which I want to make, Yeh Batal. It should be Batal. This is really not what we call Ataras Nedarim. This is really the second part of Ataras Nedarim. If you look in the Siddur, you'll see there's two parts to Ataras Nedarim. There's the first Ataras Nedarim part where you sit down with the Bezdin. Then there's the next part, which is really the Mesiras HaMoedah, which basically you're saying is that anything I say for the next year shouldn't lock me into a nether. They're really two separate experiences, which is really what we do at Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is really Mikan Labo. We're really trying to say that any nether that I make forward shouldn't have any validity. But this is the Gemara. The Gemara says, when do you do it? Yamid B'Rosh Hashanah. You do it on Rosh Hashanah. So this is why the minhag became to do Ataras Nedarim on Rosh Hashanah. The truth is, if you look in the Rishonim over there, a lot of Rishonim learned that the Gemara doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. Taisus learned the Gemara Rosh Hashanah means really Yom Kippur. That's why we do it on Yom Kippur. That's why we do Kol Nidre. Some Svaridim have a minute to do Ataras Nedarim every Erev Shabbos. They do Ataras Nedarim. Because You know, let's end the week and let's make sure we didn't do anything wrong and we'll move on. The truth is, again, avoy nedarim is a very serious thing. The Gemara says, but avoy nedarim, people make the darim and they don't keep them. People, the child, children die and their wife dies. It's a very serious avera to make the darim and people should be careful. This is a good time to remind us that when we say things, we don't realize, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be here, I'll meet you here, I'll do this. It's preferred that we say at the end of that, we make a bli neder. This way we don't get yourself locked into avoy nedarim and this way we don't have to worry about ataras nedarim. The Rosh, number 14, learns that this has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. He says, "Dover mesuyim nakat chila hashana v'uhadim b'chol eish yirtza." You don't have to do this Rosh Hashanah; you could do it the Hanukkah time also. It's going to be at any time where you want to say that from the now on, it doesn't have to be specifically Rosh Hashanah. So why is it that everyone associates Ataras Adam with Rosh Hashanah? So it's based on the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva quotes over here from the Shach in the Shach's Pirush on Chumash and Pashas Matos. He says he found the remez to Ataras Adam. What's the remez? He says, "Because of Machzik Brachim Shem Hashach, Al Hatayir Pashas Matis, Yesh Nogim Maaseis Hatoras Adarim BeElu, VaHarem Is Lo Yachel Devorei Kichol." The Pesukim of Pashas Matis, it says, "Lo Yachel Devorei, don't profane your words. Kichol Hashayas, whatever you say, you have to keep." So the Sefer Tevis of those words are El. So the Mefarshim explained it a little better. That pasuk, the Gemara makes a drasha that you lo yachel devorei, you can't profane your words, but someone else can make your words work. Meaning, someone else can be mata your neder. You can't be mata your own neder. But if you go to a bezdi, you go to a chacham, you can have your nedarim removed. So this is the mikar for ataras nedarim on erev Rosh Hashanah. So the Chayyodim writes, he says like this. This is very powerful. The Chayyodim writes, "Nogim lasis ataras nedarim erev Rosh Hashanah." The Chayyodim was one of the earliest to mention this minig. Chayyodim, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Shlaka, the Shmat Ephraim, they all bring down this minig. But he adds something. He says, "V'omnam, roi l'chol adim shiyumot hilchos nedarim." First thing is, people should learn all of hilchos nedarim before they come to ataras nedarim. Okay? We gotta first find out where is hilchos nedarim brought down. Okay? So it's in Yeridea. That's where hilchos nedarim is found. Ki yesh harbin nedarim sheyashal hatarisam. Some nedarim you can't really be matav v'nechshol bem. People don't know that. Then he says, "Gam tsarich. Kol odim shi'nizar shi'yavin mashu oimer." Everyone should read the whole long nusach that we have before they make ataras nedarim. V'loy kimo shi'cheshin hamaratzis shehu ezit chinah. It shouldn't be like some people think, oh, there's another tefillah that we say. Another tefillah, I don't understand what I'm saying. There's another tefillah. There's a tefillah that we say on Rosh Hashanah, and three people sit, and a guy stands up, but it's really davening. V'yari'isi mehayireim she'enim evinim b'loshan ha'kodesh. So if you don't speak Hebrew, you don't know Lashon Kodesh, just say it in English. He has it in Yiddish. Okay, that's not going to help us today, so say it in English. If you don't understand those words, or you don't have the time to sit down and read it, or look in the article's translation, so say it in English. To say it in Hebrew and not understand what you're saying gets you absolutely nowhere. So it's really kedai that we sit down before Yom Tov, before Erev Rosh Hashanah, and just read through it, so at least we know what we're saying. If we don't know what we're saying, it's getting us nowhere. It's funny, in number 17 of Salvechik, is quoted by Rav Shecht and Nefesh Rav, he tells over a story. It says, "Rabbeinu Sipur Lanu," Salvechik told him a story, "Shepamachas la'achas she'os ataras adarim." One time after Salvechik did ataras adarim ba'oifin, "Shekezeh api gimel balabatim." He did it with three people in the balabatim. "Oime eov echem en b'yiddish." One of the people said to him in Yiddish, he said, "Rebbe, kachu heinyin. This is what this is. V'ani tamar isi choshev ki hoyin tachal zekoshim chaloyim esra'ayim." I always thought this had to do with bad dreams. This guy told him, Salvechik, he always thought that Hataras Adarim is really Hatovas Chaloyim. He thought it's the thing you do when you have a bad dream. So you get a bunch of people together and you say some passages in the Siddur. Why? Ki beglal shetomer oimah, this is Hashem and Rabbeisib, Lashon HaKodesh. V'oilam einam evinam oisei. No one understood what they were saying. U'besidin hitva samlach Hatovas Chaloyim. And it's written in the Siddur right next to Hatovas Chaloyim. So this year, for all these years, thought he was doing Hatovas Chaloyim every year of Rosh Hashanah. Choshev oisei ha'balabosh ha'minig hazeh hoya. He thought that's the minhag. The minhag is that every year before the end of the year we do Atavas Chalayim and all our bad dreams. That's what this year thought. He told him salvation. He never knew that Ataras Adarim is a real thing. So it's a true story. This is what the Chayyadim was afraid of, that people just have no idea what's going on over here and they're not understanding what they're doing. So it's really preferred that we understand what we're trying to do through Ataras Adarim. So what are some of the basic rules for Ataras Adarim? So the first question you have to ask yourself is that Ataras Adarim we do on every Rosh Hashanah really legit? Is it a real Hataras Adarim? Pashtus, it's not. Real Hataras Adarim, you have to know what you're saying, you have to have a Pesach, and you have to have Charati, you have to have all those rules, which we say in the Tefillah we don't have. So how real is the Hataras Adarim? So for real Hataras Adarim, person makes a real neder, and now he wants to back out on it, so what does he do? So Shulchan Aruch says, in number 18, Kate said he Hatara. How do you do Hatara? So Yoimar Loi, he says to him, Shalish Pamim Mutar Loch, Oy Shui Loch, Oy Mach Loch. The Diak in the Shulchan Aruch is you don't need all three parties of the Bezdin to say it. One member of the Bezdin says it. Why does he say it three times? So the Shachar writes, Mikra Adin, you don't have to say it three times. The three times is to be mechazik the point. But really, Mikra Adin, you don't have to say it three times. Va'afilu mu'umid, they can even be standing, meaning that the Dayanim can be standing. U'bikroivim, you can have a bezdin made up of family members. You can go with your three sons and your father and all the relatives and have a bezdin, not a problem. U'belaila, and you can do this at night. U'bishabbos, maybe you can even do it on Shabbos. Afilu amaya efshalay me'etmol, even if you could have done it earlier, lisha lov uvashi eletzerech ha-Shabbos, but it should be a neder that's negayet to Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that the rules for Ataris and the Darim are not the same rules for a regular bezdin. We know for a regular bezdin, kroivim would never work. You can't have a bezdin of kroivim. Moshe and Aaron wouldn't be able to be on a bezdin. You can't have a bezdin at night. Bezdin doesn't work at night. So for Ataris and the Darim, those are not the rules. For Ataris and the Darim, you can have relatives, you can have father, son, brothers, everyone could be on the bezdin. No problem of relatives. You can even do it at night. And you can even be, technically, the Dayanim could be Mu'umid L'chatchila. We have the Dayanim sitting, asked to try to mimic a real Bezdin. There's a shayla in the Paiskim. Why exactly does the person who's being having his Adar Mata, why does he stand? What's his reason for standing?
He's testifying in front of Bezdin.
Right, so again, if you believe into this Bezdin thing, so then it makes sense. Some say because the Bezdin has a din of the Shchinah Shchari in a Bezdin. So if the Bezdin is here and the Hashem is here, so he's opposite me, I have to stand up. Others say because the Hataras Adar is like a vidui. It's like a vidui type of experience, and in vidui we know you're supposed to stand. But again, all these things are not ma'akif. They're all lechatchila. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Like, you know, they're nice guys, but I don't think they know.
So it's a machloikis with Shoinim, if you're even Yoitza with the Bezdin of Amaratzim. A bunch of guys are sitting across, they don't know what, they think you're also doing a Tavas Chalim. But they read the Nosach in the Siddur. The Siddur says, say this, so they say this. It's a machloikis with Shoinim, if you're Yoitza for Ataris Adar. It's a big machloikis with Shoinim, it's a steer in Beis Yosef, what the Beis Yosef holds. In one place, the Beis Yosef seems to be Machmer and say, no, this is no good. You got to have people who know what's going on. And another place, it seems to be Mekel. So again, yeah, preferably you should try to have a bezin of people that know what they're doing. You should know what you're doing beside you, and they should know what they're doing. Everyone should be a little bit knowledgeable in Ataris Adar before they start to do it. Yeah, again, it gets a little picky when a guy says, can I join you? And you're not holding. I don't think you know what's going on. You go to the other bezin. It's obviously uncomfortable, but a person should try to find like-minded people that are aware of what's going on over here. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can use Kravim, you can use it Lila. What happens if a guy says, you know what, I'm too busy Erev Rosh Hashanah, I want to do it Matzei Shabbos. Can I do it then? It's not Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Ephraim Grivot has a tshuva in River Ephraim, where he says there's no such din, it has to be on Dafka and Erev Rosh Hashanah. He says, v'kez, v'yizem makdim l'mitzvah, do it even earlier. Do it Matzei Shabbos, do it the night before. If you know that the only time you're going to have a Bezdin, or maybe he was talking about a case of yeshiva bachim that are leaving yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah, they're going to be at home, and who knows who's they're not going to find a normal Bezdin at home, so they'll all do it together here in yeshiva. He said it's better to do it here in yeshiva before you leave. Maybe it's better if you have people that know what's going on, they know what they're doing. It's better than going home to a shul where everyone's going to just read the Seder and they don't really know what's going on. So again, this year it's Sunday, so a lot of these kulas aren't so negeya, but on a working day, people have to leave davening early. They don't have time to stick around for Ataris Adar, and then they get caught up. So in that case, let them do it before. Let them go the night before they go to sleep, after Maariv, gather people together, do Ataris Adar at night. The Shlach HaKadosh writes explicitly, if you didn't do it on Rosh Hashanah, you could still do it during Aseret Tshuva. It's not, it's too late. You can do it during Aseret Tshuva. You don't have to do it. It's not like Shaifa that once Rosh Hashanah is over, you can't do it. You can do it during Aseret Tshuva.
I know the Chayyarim says over here, you should do it
every
Rosh Hashanah. Could you do it a week before?
So that's what he writes. So Ephraim Greenblatt says, based on the Gemara, he thinks means do it even earlier. Again, we want to try to keep within the realm of what the minhag was around Rosh Hashanah time. It doesn't have to be. I wouldn't do it in, you know, in the middle of Kislev. Right, I don't know if I do it now. Right, there's a lot to happen then. But again, let's say, for example, the way it is this year, Matzei Shabbos. I think Matzei Shabbos, there's nothing wrong with being Matzei Neder then. So why is it that these halachas for Hataris Adar of a Bezdin are different than a real Bezdin? So the Shach writes in number 19, the Afa gav the Be'ahai Gavna Bedin Osir, even though you can't have a Bezdin on Shabbos, and you can't have a Bezdin of standing, and you can't have a Bezdin of Kravim, Nidarim Lavdinhu. Says the Shach, very, very powerful words, that this is not a real Bezdin, this is not a Psak Din. It's a different type of nature of Bezdin, and therefore we don't have all the Chumros of a regular Bezdin. So the obvious question is, okay, what about women? What about children? Can I have a bezdin of me and my wife, an 8-year-old kid, a 6-year-old kid? Yeah, we'll have a bezdin. It'd be terrific. Is that allowed? If you tell me, you don't have to have the rules, so you can use anyone. So Kivega has it's a very long Shem Kivega that needs much more time than tonight to go through. Kivega has the following opinion. It's quoted Lalach in the Pesach Tshuva. Kivega is machalik between those two people that are etzem posel edus, or those people that can't be used le'edus. Meaning, an Isha and a Katan are out of the parsha of edus. No matter where they go, how they go, they're out of the parsha. Masha'ekin Kroivim, they're not out of the parsha. It's just that they can't be used together. So you want to use the word gavra or not gavra, whatever, but it's too late for lamdas. But in any case, the point is, Rebbe Kivayga says, it depends what's wrong with you. An isha and a katan are not in the parasha at all. They have no shaykhis to this idea of edus. So they can't be even in atar shadar. Mashenkin, kroivim, or laila is not, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with you. It's just that there's background information that's lacking, and therefore you can't do it. And that's what Rebbe Kivayga paskets. That's a separate shayla. If a cotton somewhere mufla, does he need? That's a shayla. That's a discussion in the Paiskim about whether or not they do need. That's a good question. But what about the 13-year-old bar mitzvah boy who got bar mitzvah last week? Can he join my bezdin? Can he be part of the bezdin? So Pashtis, you say, well, if you hold like Rebbe Kivayga, you need to have a gadol. So yes, he's got a gadol in years, but we have a rule that the gadol also has to have beisiris for deraisis, for derabbanans b'saymech and chazaka. So the question is, what's that Taras Adarm considered? Is that Taras Adarm a deraisa where you can't use, or is it a derabanan and you can get away with chazaka derava? Chazaka derava, depends on the gersh of the Gemara. So what do we do for a nice 13-year-old boy just got bar mitzvah yesterday who wants to sit on your bed? Then what are you supposed to do? Kick him off and say, I'm sorry, you don't have Shtei Cyrus, or definitely not checking to find out, but what are you supposed to do? So the Kivayga seems to be very clear, and the Pesach Yeshuva quotes it in the bottom of number 20. He says, since Taras Adarm is a deraisa, and you need bedika. Don't take people on your bezin unless they have beards. So in order to be on your bezin, you have to make sure he knows all of Hilchas Nedarim. He understands what Nedarim is about, and he has to have a beard. Okay? Anyone else without beards can't be on your bezin. That's the way the Kivayga paskens. The Shlomo Kluger in number 21 has a tshuva where he says the same thing. Shlomo Kluger says, and Shlomo Kluger in B'chayat B'chayim writes, Simcha Falef, he has the shayla. He says he is a poshut. Shein yochel etzarfoy. You can't have him on your bezin. Kiva David deraisa, because hatar sedarim is deraisa, and he doesn't count. Shmuel Vazner writes in number 22. Kiven the hatar der Rosh Hashanah ma'il lefi adin tzricha yediyah brura agadlos aris v'imkein yeshmakom lahachem lahatzach mo'ol azokim. Says thing. Says the Shmuel Vazner, same idea. He gotta use someone that has some proof that he's a god. Shmuel Kamenetsky writes in number 23 in his Sefer Kavetz Halachas. He writes, "Tehini hatar sedarim der Rosh Hashanah chashv shapar hatar mikaridin. It's real deal." You should bedavka use someone that has a beard. But the veld doesn't seem to be too makbid. Is that a riot that it's right? Is that because you don't want to insult the kid? I don't know. He just says the fact is people don't ask the kids on their bezdin how, you know, if they have shtei sairis. So Moshe Sternbach in 23b has a shtickle Torah how to answer up why it's not a problem, because he wants the taina that there's really two parts of our hatar sedarim. There's the part of the hatar sedarim part, where he says that our real hatar sedarim today is really the rabban. To do a real hatar sedarim, you have to really be able to go back to your neder and be mafarit and have a reason. That's real hatar sedarim. What we do today is basically for all those things that we started to do, those on haggis that we never really was makabel or said l'neder to. So that's what hatar sedarim goes on. So he thinks that's really the rabbanon. So that's the rabbanon can be samech on the chazak. The mesiras moida, that you don't even need a bezdin for. Everyone's so makbet to do that in front of three. You don't even need a bezdin for that. That's not to do with bezdin. That's you. You're saying that any neder you make going forward shouldn't have any kiyum. I don't need a bezdin for that. That's between me and myself. So that you don't need a, you can have a bezdin of ketanim. So Moshe Sternbach thinks there's room to be lenient with this idea of using a bezdin of 13-year-old boys, even though they might not have Bay Cyrus. You'll notice in shul that there's always going to be one or two people that say, no, I need to have a bezdin of 10. You'll always see those guys. What's their hakpad of having a bezdin of 10? Because we say in the Hataras Nedarim that one of the Nedarim we want to be matir is Nedarim that we made b'chaloim. So there's two shittas in Shulchan Aruch. If you make a neder b'chaloim, A, can you be matir it, or do you need to be matir, and how are you matir it? One shita in Shulchan Aruch is you don't need to be matir at all. Things you do in dreams don't count. The other opinion is the opposite extreme. It counts, and you need 10 people to be matir neder. So that's why there are those people that are makbid, they want to take 10, so they can be mekayim, this din of nedarim b'chaloim, and this way they can be matir it through 10. The problem is, points out many achrayim, you have a bezdin hashokel. You're not allowed to have a bezdin hashokel. You can't have an even number in a bezdin. So if you're going to be machmir to take 10, you just ruin bezdin hashokel. So the easy way out of that is to take 11. Take 11, not a problem. So some achrayim say there's no problem with bezdin hashokel over here. Why? Because the reason why bezdin hashokel is a problem is because if you're going to have to decide what to do, guilty, innocent, we're going to be split down the middle, we're not going to get anywhere. There's no psak over here. We're not ruling anything. We're just saying mutalach. So you can have a bezdin hashokel. So many achrayim held it's not a problem to have a bezdin hashokel. If you look at number 24, Nitta Gavira writes, Yesh mahajim lasas atar sedarim ba'asara. Vein tzarech shikhu yuralf anoshim. You don't have to take 11. Ba'asara have a bezdin hashokel. El sagi bezdin anoshim. He thinks the problem of bezdin hashokel is not a problem. Others, Ephraim Greenblatt thinks it's a real problem. He thinks that's a legitimate problem. He thinks it's either better to take 11 or to talk and not to use 10. What do you mean saying? All the dayanim saying it?
No, they have three people.
So the Mat Ephraim discusses this. The Mat Ephraim says Meikra din, that works, but you should only do it if you don't have time. It's not lechatchila at all. But the Yevet, it works. There's another shayla. Let's say the first guy gets up and reads the whole nusach, and then they say mutlach, and I say yes, just like him, whatever he said, I'm in. That's also a shayla. Does that count as well? Instead of going through the whole nusach, but that does work. But the Mat Ephraim says it should only be used if you're short on time. The fact that whatever that means to be short on time, everyone thinks they're short on time, but it really shouldn't be done. We really should sit there and go through the right procedures and say it out. That's really the right thing to do. Just very, very bekitzer. If you want to be one of those nunniks who is reading the Atar Sedarim and making all the changes, so some of the changes that people do is they take out the word mumchen. Right, it starts out, you say Shimon or Rabbi said you're a mumchen. So many Achraim said, "Well, mumchen, we have no mumchen today." These three guys sitting across from me have a mumchen. They don't even know where Hilchos Nedarim is. But they mumchen. So some people took out mumchen. No, they're not mumchen. So others say, "No, mumchen just means it's a respectful title." It's like today we give the title Rabbi, Goyin, whatever other words we give to people and sometimes don't deserve it. It's a title we give it. So the guy gets the title mumchen. The other part that's much more controversial is the part where we say Nazir Shimshin. We refer to the Nazir Shimshin. So this is, again, is a little bit more than we have time to discuss tonight. Just very, very bekitza. The Gemara says in Makkah, says Bata Allah, that Nazir Shimshin has no hatar to it. So if you say in it that you want to be Matan Eder on Nazir Shimshin, it's sheker. It's Nazir Shimshin is not shaykh to have a hatar on it. So therefore, there are those people who say chutz. Now, art school already has it on the bottom. They did us a favor. Art school already put on the bottom. Another nusach, chutz. But some people don't like to say Nazir Shimshin, so they either say Chutz Nazir Shimshin, or others say nothing. If Salavechik was quoted over here, number 27, in Divrei Rav, he thought it's not correct to say Nazir Shimshin. He says, Benusach Shimshin, Rabbi say, Min Hanochon Noima Chutz Nazir Shimshin. He felt the right thing to say is Chutz Nazir Shimshin. The Mashakasav Achreim B'yashav Anusach, the fact that Achreim give answers, what the answer of how to get around the problem, he felt those are not very good answers. He thought that's not a reason to say. So he felt to say Chutz. Me'ikr Hadin, if you want to really be Mataned, you can save yourself a lot of time and trouble and just really get the main part said. You don't have to say the whole long tefillah. You can basically say any anhaga that I did in the last year, which I didn't say, but I'm asking for hatar. So they read over here in number 20, that's where Salvation gets to. He's through the quick version. He says, Rav Shechter writes, Kishayisi be Boston, be'er Rosh Hashanah, be'isi shlemer, abeinu sanusach shimon rabbi yisil hatar sedarim. He didn't go through this whole long-winded thing. Short, he said in English. I remember they say, my Rebbe of Kalman Epstein used to do that. He used to come into Shev Rosh Hashanah, everyone sitting down. He'd say, okay, Rabbi say, when in the Dharma I made this year, should be Mutter, say Mutalach, and that was Atar Sadar. That's what Salvation did. A very quick, short version of Atar Sadar. It works. He says, what was Rav Salavechik's minug that he wanted to have Atar on? He had a minute that he used to stand. Tamid lamoy lachazar sashatz l'kriyas ha'ter. He had a minug that he always used to stand for chazar sashatz and for kriyas ha'ter. Ugesheis kosh olav amida. It was hard for him to do. He was getting older. It was difficult for him to do it. What happened? Ve'neinu mischaret al minug ha'tov shlo. He's not retracting the minug. Elo shloya alma b'li neder. Umavakash ha'ter. He wanted ha'ter. Kila yuchal linug b'chomazu. He posha can't do it anymore. And they said, mutalach. So what did he do that year of Salvechik? Even though he got Hatara from it, he still stood that year. And he says in a different piece, he says that he remembers growing up as a kid that when he was by his father, Ramesh Salvechik, he didn't stand there. Ramesh Salvechik never told him, Nunu, stand up. So he felt, he saw from his father, it's not the biggest deal to sit for either Kriyas HaTorah or Chazar Sashatz. What about women? Women are not Taras Nadarm. So there's really no reason why women should make Taras Nadarm as well as men. The problem is they have to find men for the Bezdin. They can't use women for the Bezdin. You can't use women for a Bezdin. So Rabbi Yashiv writes, you should have three men come down to the girls' seminary, and all the girls should take a turn, and the men should sit there a whole day and be matanet. That's what he thinks they should do. Now, that's fine. I think that's a pretty understandable thing. What about for married women? So for married women, the Shulchan Aruch says your husband could be a shlech for you. So your wife can tell you, I'm asking you to be my shlech, be matanet all my nedarim for me.
What father for his daughter?
Yeah, that's not going to work. You don't have ishtek kigufa over there.
Extra
one for the wives. Yeah. It's interesting. So that's what most people do. That's what Moshe Steinbach, they say, just have to be a shlich. Shulchan Aruch Paskes, you can have your wife. Your wife can be, you can be a shlich for your wife. Interestingly enough, Reb Shlomo Zalman didn't believe in this. Shlomo Zalman said, no. The women get Hatar Sadarim when they go to Yom Kippur night to shul. When they say Kol Nidre, that's going to be their Hatar Sadar. So there's a couple of problems. First of all, not all women make it to shul Kol Nidre night. Right? Some people stay home. Small children, you're not going to shul. What about those women? And on the bottom over here, quoted number 32, the Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky says it's not true. He says in order for Kol Nidre to work, you have to know what you're saying. If you ask people what's Kol Nidre, it's a beautiful tefillah. We open the Aron Kodesh. It's an introduction. Don't do it adar. No one knows what you're saying. And also, you have to specify. You have to say it out loud. So there's a lot of reasons to believe that Kol Nidre will not suffice via Taras Adam. So I think for a married woman, the right thing would be if she makes her husband a shlech, or if she wants, she can do a regular Taras Adam. Get three men. Her husband can't be one of them. That's the only thing. The husband can't be on the bezin. The husband can't be on the bezin because he's too connected. So you can't be on the bezin. So you get your kids, you get two of your kids in the neighbor, and do a tar sedar. These are not hard things to do. But again, at least for a wife, there's an eitzah that you can do it through the shliach of the husband.